I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter 19. We live in a very interesting day. We live in a day where everything is all about accommodation. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to make anybody feel like, you know, they might be put upon. We want to pander. And it's a scary day because what ends up happening is we tend to water down our gospel, and God forbid. Because our gospel is the greatest news this world has ever heard. It's the greatest news to every soul that would be set free. And we need to be mindful that when Jesus came into this world, He bore with us. For 33 years, He bore with us. Many times actually uttering the words, "How long must I suffer you?" It is an amazing thing to me that when we come to an American mindset, we feel like we need to be very careful about talking about committing to Jesus. Oh boy, committing to Jesus. I'll tell you what, you either commit to Him or you're lost. I'll tell you what, you either commit to Him or you're lost. All right, thank you. Just help me out here a little bit, gang. The fact of the matter is we live in a day where when we win somebody to Christ, we send them on our way with a pat on their head, but the Bible doesn't leave it that way. Bible says when you get saved, you need to get up and get baptized. Actually, it says at the end of Cornelius' household being saved, right toward the end, when the Gentiles first got born into the family of God in the house of Cornelius, the Bible says, "Who can hinder these from being baptized who've received the Holy Spirit just like we have?" And he said to them, he commanded them, it says he commanded them to be baptized. And we don't like to be commanded to do anything. We don't like to be commanded to take our hats off when we enter into a building. We don't like to be commanded to do anything. We don't like to be commanded, so therefore we've decided that we'll just put all the commands aside. Because the church has gone this way, our society has nothing left. We have no standards. The world has less. We have few standards. Well, not so in our hearts, I hope, this morning. I hope if you've never been born again, you would be born again. And I hope you'd understand going in that Jesus pulls no punches. He says, "Follow me." And he says, "I will give you eternal life." He says, "You got to take up a cross, deny yourself, follow me," and all this. And he says, once you've been saved, what do? You get baptized. Another thing you do when you get saved is you go to church. Oh, well, I don't want to be commanded to go to church. What about tithing? We tithe. Yeah, we tithe. We don't tithe because we're commanded. We tithe because it's an opportunity for us to show our love for God. Well, I don't like to tithe. Well, that's between you and God. I'm just telling you, the book says tithe, okay? And that's up to you. You want to play this game, you're going to tell God how it's done, fine. But I'm telling you, if you're going to read the Bible, there's certain things that are responsible for, we're responsible to do. And He gives these directives, if you will, so that we might make the most of our journey down here. That we might be able to look in a mirror called the Word of God and see that we're okay. Now, when we come to Acts chapter 19 this morning, what I want you to recognize is that there was a group of disciples who had not yet been saved. Look at it, if you would, chapter 19 of the book of Acts. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?' And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether they be any Holy Ghost.' And he said unto them, 'Unto what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Unto John's baptism.' And then said Paul, 'John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus.' And when they heard this," the Bible says, "they were baptized in the name of Jesus." Now the title of the message this morning is, "Unto what were you baptized?" It's an interesting question, isn't it? The whole idea of being baptized is a huge part, a telic part, an essential part of our salvation. It does not save us, but it is an expression we get to give to the world around us that we meant business when we trusted Jesus as our Savior. Now, in this passage that's before us, we see the mention of a man named Apollos. And Apollos was a good disciple. He was an eloquent speaker, powerful in all that he said. And people got around him and heard him. And it is very likely that the disciples found in Ephesus were disciples that were made under the preaching of Apollos. If you go back into chapter 18, you'll see that Apollos was not quite on task completely. He was preaching, he had power. Aquila and Priscilla take him aside privately and get him up to speed on what was true about Christ. And he went on his way preaching, and then it says Apollos is up there, Paul comes down, and he kind of comes in behind what Apollos probably did, and he begins to shore things up. Now, I'm concerned this morning because I believe some of us need to shore things up. Because I think a lot of us get saved for all the wrong reasons. Or make a decision for all the wrong reasons, if I should put it in a better, more clear fashion. And what I want you to see in this passage is that as far as Paul was concerned, three things were going to be present when a person was truly born again. I mean, a truly born again person has some things going to be present. The first thing is he's going to have some evidence. He's going to have some evidence. And Paul was talking to these guys, and the question was begged. He says of them in verse 1, and Luke is our writer, and he was Paul's companion. And Luke records for us that there were disciples. We find their number later in the verses. It talks about there was 12 of them. And these guys were hanging out together. They were lit up about a new thing they had heard, or maybe had heard it some time ago. But the fact is, these guys were lit up. They were hanging together. And there was evidence that there was something going on here. Paul begins to interact with them. And the question is begged, have you received the Holy Ghost? Now, there's a whole lot of goofiness in our world today. They don't even understand what this means. And they want to exploit it. And they want to look for sensational things. The Bible says, woe be unto this generation seeks after signs and wonders. And our generation likes that signs and wonders thing. I'll tell you what, God did the signs and wonders thing. He did it throughout the wilderness experience. He did it in the days of Jesus and the apostles because they had a new word that it was so radically culmination, such a radical culmination of what Moses had set in order that when he came with signs and wonders. His disciples had signs and wonders. He was telling them, you need to believe what we're saying. And when they passed off the scene, you have church fathers who said, John used to tell us about that. This stuff faded away. And it says in Hebrews chapter 3 that that God bore them witness with certain signs and miracles and so forth, according to His will. Signs of the apostles. God confirming them. So this world in which we live wants a sign and a wonder. Well, in this day, this was a transitional thing. Somebody made a very good observation about the book of Acts. We need to experience the teachings of the book of Acts, not teach the experiences. This was transitional. And what happened here was he was talking to them and something was lacking. And he says, have you guys received the Holy Ghost? And I love that because what it's saying is there's some evidence. And what's really cool is in our study in the book of Romans of late, we found that there is evidence. In Romans 8, especially, all about being walking upon the Spirit, you know, the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Do you have the witness of the Spirit? Have you received it? Well, oh, I've never spoken in tongues. Good. Not the kind the world in which we live today wants to talk about. You want to talk about tongues? I'll tell you about tongues. Tongues were languages. They were real languages. They preached a real gospel in foreign languages like German and French or whatever was necessary for the non-Palestinian Jews who came in for the feast to hear in their own language. We hear every man in our own language. Guys, listen, this book is not complicated. We just need to read it. It's not complicated. And so when you're reading this and he asks them, have you received the Holy Ghost? He's saying, I'm seeing something's missing. And I think he saw things missing in two areas. First of all, their knowledge was limited. Here they were talking. They were disciples. They knew something. He's enjoying the fellowship. 12 of them. The Apostle Paul. How cool would that be, 12 of us? You know, I talk about a Bible study we have on Sunday night. We get together. We talk about the Word of God and how it relates to a book we're studying and what we can learn in it, you know. 12 of them. If Paul was going to be here tonight, I wonder if he'd be here. Remember what I said? Church is part of being a Christian, part of an evidence. These guys were hanging out together. Church! It's what it is. Did you know? I don't want to hang out with them. I'm reminded of that guy who was laying in bed one morning, kind of like somebody might have been this morning. And he was saying, I'm not going to that church. I don't like those people. They don't like me. Wife says, you got to get up. It's time to go. He says, I don't want to go. They don't like me. Nobody likes me over here. She says, honey, you know you got to go. He says, well, I just don't want to go. I'm done with it. I'm done. You can't be done. You're the pastor. Now get up and go. Just say it. All right? Preacher sometimes feels like that. But how does Jesus feel when we don't show up? These guys showed up and all they had was a baptism of repentance. You know what? A lot of churches are packing them in with a shoehorn who are teaching work salvation because people think they got to be there or they're lost. No, I don't want to be committed. Baptism is commitment. He calls for that. We don't want to ask for that. Guys, I don't care what you think about the Word of God on the surface. This book is an amazing, amazing feast for the soul. And when he said to them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost?" he saw there was a lack of knowledge. They were talking about maybe Apollos and his exploits in their midst and how everybody got on board and how everybody's lives changed. But they're just sitting there. You know, and he's something's missing. And I wonder if in your life something's missing. Oh, you've been in church all your life. But what about it? Your baptism, we'll get to that, but under what were you baptized? Were you a little kid and you didn't know? You just don't want to go to hell or you want to please mommy, all that? What was it? Is there the Holy Spirit? Do you have evidence? The Bible says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And they had a lack of knowledge that he perceived, but also they had a lack of testimony. Their testimony was lacking. They couldn't quite put words in it. You know, it is a shame that God's people cannot articulate their faith. If somebody were lying in your front yard having been hit by a car and off into the ditch, there they were, laying there, hemorrhaging, not having much longer to live, and you as God's child, quote unquote, you think maybe you are, maybe you're not. And that's what I'm trying to establish here today. If somebody pushed you, could you tell them how to get saved? Because if you don't understand that 2 + 2 = 4, you can't explain that to somebody else. But when you understand, it's like, come on, this makes perfect sense. Let me show you. Here's a 2, and here's a 2. We put them all together. There's 4 there. And the salvation message is that precise. We don't have to guess. We know. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life." Do you know? People go through their entire lives saying, "I got saved when I was a teenager." People go through their entire life saying, "I got saved when I was 5 or 6. But the fact of the matter is they have no testimony and they have a lacking in knowledge. And it's because they really weren't saved. These guys really weren't saved. They weren't. Now some people, "Well, I got baptized, I'm not doing that again." Let me give you my testimony. I was like about 12 years old when I heard the gospel in a church like this. And I had read a bunch of chick tracts and prayed every time I read those babies. I read them and read them. And I mean, I wanted more. I was kind of like, "Wow, give me these comic tracts. Tell me how to go to heaven." And I remember just getting down by the side of my bed every time. 8, 9, 10 years, whatever. I'm reading these and I'm lit up. Go to a church on a pack a pew day. Heard a preacher preach. And I heard it was just like I was hearing and reading. And I understood the gospel through those tracts. And I went forward and I trusted Christ. I remember going to a little back room and asking Jesus to come into my heart. And I remember getting real specific about my sin. I got baptized shortly thereafter. I believe I was saved when I was 8, 9, or 10. It was all about God. God was the one impressing and imposing upon my heart. But for 3 years, because my family was very unchurched, we weren't very churchy at the time, and I got out of church, and nobody was chasing the little kids to go to church, and I got away, and I got into drugs a little bit there for about 2 or 3 years. And God put His hand heavily upon me, as He did David. When David was silent, He said, my vitality was dried up. And I just felt like, you know, at one point, I couldn't stand it anymore. I went to my mom. I said, "Mom, I need to repent." That's all I knew. I didn't know what else to say.